I think it's probably the most sourceless, boring clip of a boss that I've ever seen.
Borzo. Big Borzo boss.
If you'd known the absolute grind that resulted in that victory, maybe you'd
well,
have
I wasn't. I mean, maybe you could have captured that in the video. Like, I didn't feel any. It was
for,
like
we
okay, sleepwalking.
Your struggles. It didn't come through.
And welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, Shannon.
Hello.
Brody.
Hello.
And James.
Hello.
On the show this week, we're going to be talking about our first impressions of Hollow Knight Silksong and Perfect Dark, maybe making a comeback? I don't know. Bits to discuss there. We've also got the return of Tech Time with Shannon and Unpopular Gaming Opinions, a couple of our favorite segments. But first, James, I missed you last week with my return back from holidays. You weren't able to make the show. How are you? How are you doing, James, first and foremost?
Great, Ewan. Thanks.
Sucking up now,
are you enjoying... What was that?
Sucking up now, are we, after what you had to say last week?
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Come out of your cave for this one, did you, Chumsy?
Running my name. Yeah, through the mud.
Whatever you do, don't go back and listen to last week's episode. I had all but positive things to say about James, apparently. No, that's you're unfairly conflating some stuff there and doing me dirty. James, back to you, though. Are you enjoying Chronos, the new Dawn?
I am loving it. It's very good. I'm actually upset it's not getting more attention, although I guess it did release in the same week as Hollow Knight, so it never was, right?
I think just it's a busy really... week, like release week in general. Like Hellasus came out as well.
Yeah,
right?
That's. I also wanted to play that, but I prioritized this just because I feel like this is probably more finishable in my current state. So,
and definitely up your alley. Street.
My alley and my street, even. The whole city, really. Like, you can go anywhere. It's there for me. It's really good. I think anyone who likes Dead Space, like the original Dead Space, or like RE4, it's like a good mix of that, I feel. Really good, like, atmosphere. I wouldn't say it's scary. Like, I don't think I've been truly scared. I've been tense the whole time. Because everything is like wet all the time, and there's just things can come out of the wetness at any moment. So
when
very
you
confronting.
Say Dead Space, because I love the original Dead Space, obviously. Like combat wise, is it similar to that, or just like vibe and setting?
I just think like you don't dismember things in the same way you do Dead Space. Like the whole point of this one is more about strategically burning things so that they don't merge and get stronger. And I think that's a genuine like concern that you have to have playing. So. I really like that. I like having to think about, you know, am I going to come back to this area? Can I just like run through? But if you do run through, they'll start eating each other and then you come back through and they're like, you know, armored or more dangerous and stuff. But when the game opens
that, like,
up in
situational awareness coupled with like resource management, like already sets me on edge. It feels like I have work to do.
But I love that. And like, it feels really well balanced in terms of the ammo and stuff. Like, I feel like I'm always down to my last few bullets all the time. Like, I'm not losing my way into a corner per se. Like there's still ways to kind of get out of sticky situations. But I just think the moment-to-moment, like, gunplay is really fun. I will even say, like, the combat is better than Silent Hill 2, just comparing Bloober's last game, right? Like, I feel like they've done a really good job here. The story, it's interesting, but, like, I'm kind of waiting for it to, like, come together. Which I assume it does, right, Brody, like, in a good way.
Yeah.
He's nodding for anyone who isn't watching.
I'm pleased you're enjoying it, James. I do want to point people towards last week's episode to hear Brody's kind of in-depth thoughts on the game. We had a big, long discussion about it then, in which he
it's very good.
You.
I think it's well worth your time.
I wanted to update you too, James, that I beat Death Stranding as well last week. Death Stranding 2, I should explain. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the game. I think it's currently, like, in my top three, maybe, top five.
What's your top
games
two?
Of this year? I keep needing to consult my list.
I think
keep
you did claim top three
and...
last week when we discussed it.
Yeah, but I think I decided I was thinking, like, giving too much credence to Dune Awakening, I think. What's my list?
Dune Awakening.
Which maybe Brody's
three.
Just got in my head. I have... freaking love Dune Awakening.
That's
yeah,
very
Dune
dynamic.
Awakening got shuffled down to four Hollow Knight Silk Song is making a surprise. This is like a live list. I'm constantly shuffling this, by the way, so I have reserved the right to change this. Death Stranding got moved up to number two. Number two spot. I did struggle with the pace a little bit. Like, I thought the first half of the game was great. It started to lose me a little bit in, like, I don't know, that kind of third quarter. And then it finished like really strong, just went full kind of balls to the wall. It got weird and wacky and wonderful. Mm. And I just love how it all kind of came together. And I think the story, like, tied up all of its loose ends, right? Like, there was so much going on. I was like, I don't know how this is all going to come together and being explained in any sort of coherent way, but they kind of stuck the landing. And it was, yeah, I was really impressed by it. Some great kind of like set pieces towards the end as well that I really just didn't see coming. But yeah, if you've been on the fence about Death Stranding 2, I certainly was, but loved it. All right, let's get on with the show. Shannon, I'm eager to have a quick little tech time with Shannon, one of our favorite reoccurring segments here on the Pressed Up podcast. The new iPhones were announced this morning. Was there anything of note for gamers? Did they announce anything interesting?
Yeah, there definitely was. Obviously, gaming has been big on Apple's list in the last year, putting all the Resident Evil games on iPhone. They're just everywhere, continuing that trend, which is great to see. Yeah, Death Stranding, heaps of other iPhone games. But yeah, Vapor Chamber Cooling is probably the big one, because I think the A18 Pro chip was great for games, but I think after a few minutes, cooling was an issue. And then I think that's where you'd see frame rate drop. So like now you've got that Vapor Chamber Cooling to keep sustained performance.
Which I guess this is like existed in phones for a week. Why are you? What's so funny? What am I missing out on?
So here? Like, I let them talk about their stupid little horror
games. There's reactions going off.
There's reactions going on. I always worry about the side chat going on.
What were you saying, Ewan? Continue. Let's just have our own little chat.
He's talking about the vapors. Get back to the vapors.
Vapor chambers have like existed in the phones for a little while. So I think like it's one of these things coming to iPhone. I think people, you know, that have had an Asus ROG phone or whatever, probably like, yeah, big whoop, like we've had this for ages. It was actually like my phone overheating has become more of a recent problem. Maybe as it's gotten older and I've been in some warmer climates recently as well. So it was struggling. But yeah, I don't know. I just still have very little interest in gaming in my phone.
It's not just for gaming, right? For like recording 4K video and like they're doing new things with the cameras and like all of that is very intensive with everything running in our phones these days. So like just for that alone, I think it'd have to even help battery life in terms of like just cooling everything down and not having it running at a very high temperature.
A bit more passively, I guess. I mean,
they're launching like games apps on everything with iOS 26 as well. So like clearly they're in this space. So it'll be interesting to see what else is coming.
Yeah. No sign of like this kind of rumored like Apple gaming console or making an Apple TV kind of a bit more gaming centric. Yeah.
No, but I think it's only going to come with time. They're obviously investing in their own AI upscaling and things like that. So I think it's all moving in the right direction with all like their chipset that just is best in class really in the mobile space.
Yeah. Interesting. But to see how that
exciting.
To
I think
develop.
If you've got an iPhone from last year, not a lot of reason to jump, but I think the Air is something a little bit different from Apple. And I think the first step towards a foldable. So that's a little bit exciting. But yeah.
I remain unconvinced about foldables. I quite like just the novelty of the Samsung, like the smaller flipping one. But yeah.
This shit.
Yeah. I mean, they seem to be popular among people that like them.
Yeah, they seem to be. Speaking of favorite reoccurring segments, I'm eager to pull out another unpopular gaming opinion. We put the call out on our Facebook pages not long ago. We had tons of responses, but if you do have any more, send them through. The one I picked out today comes from Jorge Archila, who wrote, quote, "Anthem was actually good and had great shooter mechanics, especially the flying and powers. Shame EA never implemented that 2.0 update." Brody, first to you. Controversial or uncontroversial, this opinion, do you think?
I think this opinion has aged better. I think Anthem's one of those games that I think people look...
Fine wine.
Yeah, I think people look back on Anthem with, I don't know, with a softened view now. Like, I think people accept that the mechanically that game was quite good. Like, the flying was really solid. Like, the gunplay was good. Say what you will, maybe, about the mission structure and how sort of, like, I guess the moment-to-moment story unfolded. Like, they probably could have done a bit better there. But I think the bones of what that game was quite good. And I think it could have been, I guess, at a different time, like, something special. But I think they were going kind of for that, obviously, live service thing that Destiny did quite well, but it didn't have that staying power, unfortunately. So, yeah, look, I wish they did get around to that 2.0 update, but yeah, unfortunately it wasn't to be. But no, I don't think that's a bad take if we're being a bit revisionist about it all. Yeah.
I'm with you. I reviewed Anthem back in the day and I was pretty scathing about it, particularly because I encountered game breaking bugs, like in that kind of early launch window in which it was kind of accessible to people that had paid for the premium version of the game. But the core like gameplay loop and I think the game feel was just fantastic. Like they really nailed that kind of mobility and the gunplay felt really tight. It was just like the missions that you were presented were just so run of the mill and uninspired. And
Suicide Squad like even, except Suicide Squad didn't have good combat to back it up, but whereas at least this had something there. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like it was a real missed opportunity to do more with it. James, what do you think? Would you be opposed to Anthem making a comeback in some way?
Nah. I think, like, just take those lessons, like, take that combat and put it into, like, Mass Effect or something, which is probably what they're doing.
Or, like, the Iron Man game that Motive are working on.
Like, I can see you can take elements from that game. Because I did always feel that way about Anthem. I just thought, like, the hub world was, like, kind of shit and random. And there was a lot of stuff in there that just felt like they got to the end of, like, a key deliverable day and they were like, oh, fuck, we need to cobble something together. And they just, like, kind of padded it out a lot.
Mm.
So,
if I remember correctly, like, they, like, presented a trailer for the game and a lot of the developers were like, oh, my God, what is all of that? Like, it seemed kind poorly directed.
Right.
Working on memory.
I don't remember any of that. I remember, like, I think if you pre-order it, you got, like, 3 months of Xbox Live free or something. Like, there was some kind of, there were these, like, crazy deals you could get it for at the time because they were obviously in crisis mode towards launch. But yeah, I distinctly remember there was a quest as well where you had to collect all this shit to kind of get through and it was just repeating the same crap ad nauseum. But yeah, like, I've always thought the way about Anthem, I've always thought, like, gameplay-wise, it is quite solid. I think mechanically it's really, really sound. I just think they didn't have enough content to back it up for the type of game that it wanted to be. So I agree with this for sure. That being said, like, I'm not somebody who, you know, gets into sweaty post games of games like this, so maybe there wasn't a lot there beyond, but that's kind of what I'm saying, right? Like, I don't think it was that well balanced for long term, which is a game, which is a problem when you're like a games as a service. So, but yeah, I think hopefully BioWare is still okay following Veilguard and stuff, and I think all there will be some lessons learnt, you know?
Yeah, they've taken a few hits, but hopefully they kind of come back strong. Shannon, any thoughts on Anthem?
I echo everything consensus. Said. I think it had some solid stuff, and like the flying and stuff was decent. I think it was good. And I think it's one of those games that kind of people were hating on it before it even came out, right? And it's hard for it to come back. So that's kind of the memory of it. But I don't think it was that bad once all was said and done.
All right, let's get on with some of this week's news then. And I want to start discussing Hollow Knight, specifically Hollow Knight Silksong, which had a huge launch in this past week with digital storefronts. And Chan and I sort of witnessed this in real time, like absolutely crumbling under the demand of this game. I've never seen like Steam go down, the Nintendo eShop like as broken as it was. It was something to behold. Despite the overwhelming popularity, the game has been critiqued a little bit, and Team Cherry have been quick to kind of issue details about an imminent patch, which is going to balance some of the early game difficulty, which I'm sure some will be pleased to hear, and sorting out some of the in-game economies as well, which has probably been like my real kind of critique in the game so far. Brody, I think you mentioned before the start of the show that you've played what, the first hour of it so far? About an hour. How are you finding it so far? Have you got much interest in continuing?
I do. Of the games that I'm playing at the moment, though, that are this kind of like unguided, like you just sort of go find your way in the world, I feel like this one's grabbing me slightly less than Hell Is Us. Just in terms of how they unfold, I suppose. Like, but in terms of what this game does well, like it's obviously that it's not a Twitch platformer like some of the other games I'd like to play, like Celeste or Super Meat Boy or anything like that. But it has that sort of, you know, for lack of a better term, quasi Souls like combat that you really need to like learn the patterns and do all that sort of stuff. So I do like that. I think early on, like I haven't. Granted, I'm only an hour in. I'm probably not even close to the difficulty spikes that people talk about in the early game. Like, I'm probably early game. But, like, I haven't found any of the bosses to be unfair so far. But, I don't know. I'm struggling with the lack of guidance. And I know that's kind of the point. But I wish there was probably a little bit more pointing me where to go to a degree. I know you can obviously buy pins with your rosary beads and stuff to, like, mark things on the map yourself and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm just finding it hard to sort of get in that headspace to want to engage that much with the map and stuff like that. But I think mechanically it's obviously really solid. It's a beautiful game. Like the art is awesome. The music's awesome. Like they always, from the first game and this game, they've always nailed that side of things. And I can easily see why Hollow Knight fans are really jazzed on this sequel, but, I think I will stick with it a bit longer, but you know, if I get past say 8-10 hours remains to be seen, I suppose.
I don't know if it's like just kind of what I've sort of played in between this and Hollow, the first Hollow Knight, but I really struggled to get into the first Hollow Knight. Like it just felt kind of a bit slow. I kind of struggled a bit with the movement of the character and the combat. And similarly, like the lack of direction that you're sort of given as well. But I think maybe I've gained a bit more of an appreciation for kind of Metroidvania since then. Prince of Persia was obviously my favorite game of last year. And I think this game, whether or not I just didn't get far enough with the previous one, or it's just kind of a different character in Silksong, like the mobility feels way better to me, and I'm enjoying the combat a hell of a lot more. So yeah, I'm like properly addicted to this game.
I do think
I've probably played like 15 to 20-ish sort of hours already, I would guess, in the sort of first week.
I do think it does the Death Stranding 2 thing as well to a degree where it sort of doesn't have to spend as much time like onboarding you in the world. So it kind of starts a bit quicker, I think. So that's definitely good in terms of picking it up and getting straight into it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've definitely been like skill checked by some of these bosses already. And I was kind of horrified to learn some of the bosses that I've been fighting are still very early in game bosses. So no doubt there's some real nasty stuff that awaits me. But yeah, to your point as well around the sound or the soundtrack of the game, like I'd take that step further and say like the sound design in general is just awesome. Like I really love kind of all the atmosphere and like the little sound effects that all these critters kind of make. Like the enemy design is really quite impressive. I feel like the game does kind of necessarily kind of shock you with the difficulty a little bit. Even kind of the run-of-the-mill enemies you encounter, some of them are particularly nasty, and I think that kind of teaches you some kind of like important lessons early in. It does a really like clever job of like introducing kind of little traversal tricks that you can make or little combat tricks that you can sort of make as well. So I kind of, rare for me to say this, but I kind of don't want them to like mess with that formula too much. I think it kind of helps you settle into the game a little bit, but certainly the economy updates that talking about making, I think, make a lot of sense. Shannon, are you pleased to see the game seemingly doing so well? And are you at all like kind of surprised by the reception it's had?
Very thrilled with the current Metacritic standing of
it. So you drafted it in
Open critic, whatever critic it is, I'll take it. No, I'm not surprised. I think people have been waiting for this for a long time, and it has delivered from what I can see. It is a little bit weird just because there were no early access or like leaks or anything, which we're so used to in this industry. It was kind of like everyone playing from day one. So I feel like there wasn't like that outpouring of like verdicts or whatever popping up, like everyone's going at their own pace. But I think it's obviously good that it's performing well. I think we all kind of knew it would, given like they weren't under any pressure to rush it out or whatever. So it's still, yeah, just based on what Brody said, like not really my thing. Like it's one of those games, like every Souls game that come out that you look at and think, oh, I really want to get into that based on the art or what you're watching. But then I just know it won't be for me long term. Like it's really, really hard from what I've seen online, right? Like a lot of people are struggling with it. I don't know if the first one known for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Maybe it was just I wasn't paying attention to the discourse.
It doesn't look any different to me, like say from like movement puzzles in Ori or something. Like I don't know, it was just because this game has such like a wider spread of people playing it. Like I don't personally think it looks that hard. I haven't played it yet, obviously, but you can kind of see, you know, the difficulty.
Yeah. I sent games, James like, a clip of me beating what I thought was a pretty difficult early game boss, and you were like, oh, doesn't look all that impressive, big whoop.
It was like, for anyone who, obviously, I was going to say for anyone who hasn't seen it, no one has seen this clip, but like, sorry, it's not a public better group chat.
Yeah, maybe I should tweet it.
Maybe I should, maybe you should release it. I think it's probably the most sourceless, boring clip of a boss that I've ever seen.
Borzo, big Borzo boss.
Yeah. But yeah.
If you'd known the absolute grind that resulted in that victory, maybe you'd
well,
have
I wasn't. I mean, maybe you could have captured that in the video. Like, I didn't feel any. It was like sleepwalking struggles.
It didn't come through.
I just read maybe I needed like some commentary to it or something.
I felt nothing and nobody moved, is all I'm going to say.
For those playing Silksong, it was me finally beating Morwing, I think the boss's name was, which is like, it seems to be the kind of boss that everyone like hates at the start of the game, just because it's like, you've just got to land so many attacks to kill this thing, and you're afforded very kind of narrow windows to actually land an attack. So it's like a slow, kind of tedious chip away. And the fact that like the game doesn't present you any health on screen, you've got no idea how close you are, is a real quirk.
Is that are all bosses like that with no health?
Yeah,
is that
every enemy is the same. You kind of learn many hits it takes to kill it, but obviously with a boss, like you beat them one time and one time only, so you don't really learn that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. No, everything I've seen looks very interesting. Like looks cool. So I'm happy that people are enjoying it, and you as well, Ewan. I appreciated the video. I didn't really understand what was happening, but go for it.
I do think it's funny that like kind of two of my favorite games so far this year. Granted, early days for Silksong, are like games that I tried the first game of and couldn't get into it, and now the second time around, it's winning me over. But yeah, it also frustrates me that Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown, didn't sell well or like get the attention that I think it deserved, given how well Silksong is apparently selling. Like they just feel like very kind of similar games to me in many ways. So yeah. If you like Silksong and you've done, when you're done with that, go back, play Prince of Persia. I implore you. But yeah, let me know what you make of it, Brody, as you continue.
I'll keep you posted. I'll record my fight with Morwing. Let you know.
Yeah, please. Maybe add some commentary or something to jazz it up for James's sake. Let's talk about Perfect Dark now, though, and it like kind of nearly making a resurrection, and maybe what the possibility of that still is. A report from Jason Schreier at Bloomberg revealed in the week that Take-Two held talks with Xbox to salvage the now cancelled reboot. Ultimately, any potential deal collapsed, as the two were unable to agree on what the long-term ownership of the franchise looked like thereafter. James, maybe first to you, what do you think the like ideal scenario would have been here?
The game got finished and came out. I guess,
would you like to have seen Take-Two take it over and hold on
like,
to the
chuck
property
put anyone
thereafter?
On it? Give it to I don't
Ubisoft
know
Ubisoft Punai.
Yeah, no, not if they're a developer, not a publisher. Shannon, I don't. Yeah, give it to Tencent, like some mobile slop factory. I don't care. Like, I would love to see Perfect Dark have new life. And stories like this always like frustrate me a bit because it kind of
highlights... let it die peacefully without the hope.
Yeah, like what's the point? Because like obviously we don't know how real the footage we were shown was. I think the general sentiment was that it was real. It was just very like specifically done.
Mm.
But like I think there is room for shooters that are like even the James Bond footage from last week. You know, I think there's room for like, I mean, I call this like spy fire. Like, it's a cool Ooh, mix that I don't think has fire. Been like,
is coined that?
Has you've coined really something. Been yeah. there.
I don't think I have. That. I don't think that's my thing. Like, I'm sure I've heard that somewhere before.
okay.
But you know what? Like, I feel like spy like fire. That kind of, that shooter where it's not just about shooting, shoot, you've got gadget. Like, it's really an immersive sim, right? Like, I guess Deus Ex is kind of like in that same vein.
That's the original spy fire.
One of my favorite games ever. Well, you're not a spy in that, but yeah.
No.
Sorry. So it's not really spy fire.
Get it right.
Yeah.
Sorry, Warren Spector.
So embarrassing. yeah, but genuinely, like, it's kind of frustrating. Like, but this was obviously, this was like talked up so much by Xbox and then got cancelled. And then, like, just like complete, like, no, you know, I don't know. Like, I feel like the Take-Two thing, like, just fucking, I don't. Like, and then people get to keep their jobs and, you know, especially Crystal Dynamics, like, I feel really bad for them because obviously they staffed up to kind of fix this and then they couldn't and now, like, people don't have work. But I think at the end of the day, like, it just shits me that people would rather just sit on this IP and do nothing with it for ages and, like, you know, and I can see it becoming a thing where, you know, remember how Conker was, like, in Project Spark, like, years ago and that was just shit, like... Are we going to just get Joe Dark as, like, a fucking Apex Legends skin at some point? Like, do you know what I mean?
If you're
like,
lucky.
She's coming to Fortnite, I feel.
Or they're going to chuck her, like, in like, as a card on Pokemon Card Online or some shit. Like, just kind of, like...
Xbox cart.
Like, licensing it out. Yeah, like, put her face on the side of a car in Forza Horizon. Like, stuff like... I just, like, shit like that. Like, you wanted to keep it just so you could do stuff like that. You know, that is so frustrating to me. And that's not just Microsoft. I feel like so many people sit on licenses and IPs. Like, Time Splitters is another one that comes to mind. Deus Ex is one that comes to mind now, too. But, yeah, it's just really disappointing. Because I feel like that game could have been something...
Yeah.
Very different to what is around already. Yeah,
I think it's kind of wading into hypotheticals here, but presumably if it was just the kind of discussion around long-term ownership in which it fell apart, then you would have to assume that Take-Two looked at the financials and thought, okay, like for what is required to finish this game, we're prepared to fund that. And B... they must have seen like some kind of builds of the game and liked what they saw enough to kind of take it on and publish it, right? And presumably if they wanted the long-term ownership of the franchise, they had saw potential in it to kind of grow and carry on. So I think like it bodes pretty well for the state that the game was in, which I think makes
matter.
This even more
like,
frustrating. That like really
like
it was the kind
anyway.
Of... Yeah. It's just so frustrating. And... maybe like more the business side of it. Like, okay, well, I want the ability to extract value out of this forevermore is where it fell over. Which is just, again, I'm making a couple of assumptions there. It's a bit of hypothetical, but yeah, it's, if any of that is true, I think that makes it particularly more disappointing. And it's not the first time like a game has just kind of maybe been in a pretty good state and just shelved. I feel for the developers as well that spend all this time working these games and it just never sees the light of day and progresses anywhere else, nor are they really allowed to kind of talk about it and show their work in a portfolio or anything like that. It's really, really rough. Sorry, James, I thought you were gonna
I agree. I just think maybe also like you don't know, maybe Take-Two is like we want it but we want to own it so we can make a fucking gutsy game like a year later or something. Maybe they didn't want to do that. Like I also, that could be the other way that it was going.
And maybe they were like, it's in a really rough way and it's going to cost us. So you want the long-term rights. Maybe that's also true. So yeah,
I think, we'll just get a Sea of Thieves ship themed after Perfect Dark for season 42 or whatever they're up to now. So
Brody, do you think there's any chance Perfect Duck does make a return, or is it really just going to be Sea of Thieves ship skins?
I think if only
sailed.
Oh,
designs.
You mean ever? not this iteration necessarily.
Yeah, ever. Not this iteration.
Yeah.
Is it tarnished now? Like, is it just bad news?
Yeah, I think there would be a little bit of I guess bad will and stuff attached to it now. Like, you'd find it hard to believe if they announced a new one next year that thing would ever see the light of day. But I don't know. It is unfortunate. Like, I think the only chance we have of seeing anything Perfect Dark released is if some disgruntled Crystal Dynamics developer releases the build that they were working on or something like that, and that somehow comes out. But yeah, it just sucks. Like, to James's point, like, Crystal Dynamics are the ones that have been kind of stuffed the worst by all this. Like, Xbox built this quadruple A studio only to shutter it. They get Crystal Dynamics in to help, they staff up, and then it all falls apart. So it is, yeah, it's just a shitty story, really. But yeah, but long term, I can't see it. Like, maybe a remaster or a remake of Perfect Dark or Perfect Dark Zero or something on some anniversary, perhaps. Next year. Next year would be the anniversary of Perfect Dark Zero, wouldn't it, James?
That'd just be such a weird slap in the face.
Or is it this year?
If they did that.
Yeah. What was the question?
The anniversary of Perfect Dark Zero.
25 years this year. Oh, wait. 20. Perfect Dark Zero. Yeah. No. Sorry. Perfect Dark Zero was 2010?
No.
I think.
That was a launch title.
What? Really?
When was it?
Oh, 2006.
There
yes.
you go.
Sorry.
Maybe they'll do a controller.
Next year, we're going to get a Perfect Dark controller.
It'll be a Perfect Troller. Dark DualSense, like, to celebrate.
Yeah.
It's a shame this all fell apart. I'd like to see it return someday. It looked really cool. And this is coming from someone that hadn't played a Perfect Dark game. I thought it looked neat. And I'm a big fan of spiffy games or spy-fi games, whatever you call
the
them.
The world wasn't
games.
Ready for spy-fi.
I welcome more. All right, I have a rapid-fire question for you all today to close out the show before we go into What the Wiki. The PS5 Digital Edition had a bit of a storage downgrade announced in the past week, with its capacity being reduced to 825 gigabytes rather than the original 1 terabyte. Shannon, is this a big deal?
I guess we started there, so not hugely, right? Like, that's one game, and I guess they're not taking it away from you. So I think it's a better situation than another price increase, but obviously I don't know the financials and stuff around it. I mean, it's not a great thing, but I don't think it's the worst thing that could happen.
It's, yeah, kind of scary to think that just maintaining it at 1 terabyte would have meant a price increase.
Yeah.
Given
it's kind
like
of weird.
Memory
it's weird
is
to me.
One of those, sorry, like, yeah, storage based, one of those things that generally comes down over time. But anyhow, James, do you think people have a right to be worked up over this?
I don't, like, if you're worked up over it, I just think, like, fucking get a life. But, like, I mean, it sucks. I think it's shit. Yeah. Like, it's just so bizarre, like,
move on.
How consoles are going up in price and you're getting less.
Yeah.
But I also, like, statistically speaking, most people own a PS5 now. Like, who fucking cares? Like, if you've waited this long, like,
you
that's
deserve
on
it.
You, babe. Like, yeah. I don't, yeah, like,
you should have bought one on launch day. Like, you,
I don't know.
You
know, I just think there's so many
one
things.
One of
the
rare cases in which, like, they've appreciated over time, somewhat.
I know, yeah, I just think there's, like, so many other things I could be upset about in this world. Perfect Dark, as an example. Like, I'm not upset about.
Let's go back.
Let's just talk about Perfect Dark. Nah, literally, there's just so many things in the world right now that I could personally be more upset about than whether new PlayStations purchased by people 6 years in to the generation have less space.
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion.
Brody, as the one digital edition owner here on the team, do you feel personally attacked by this news?
Yeah, what? Yeah, I feel slighted. I'm going to be part of the civil suit against PlayStation, I'm sure, but no, look, it's not my main console, I guess I should say. I don't play on it mainly, so look, I could give two shits, but look, it's not great. It's not good optically, I don't think. It's not a good look, but like James says, like, statistically speaking, if you were going to buy a PlayStation, you probably already have, so yeah, play on, I suppose.
Yeah, play on. Nice. I mean, I don't feel like it is that big a deal for all the reasons you stated, but also you can like add your own memory to a PlayStation still, right?
At your own cost.
I don't think that's any different with a digital edition. So yeah, I would rather keep things at the same cost and then like if in time I want to part with more cash and upgrade that storage, have that option rather than just the whole console being
Then why ship with a hard drive at all?
That's my take.
Don't worry about it.
That's very spinny, Ewan. Well, I don't like you that.
You need a baseline level of a storage.
You are the like, king I don't want of them to spin.
Say, okay, we're saving you money, and now there's 200 gig on there. That's ridiculous. But
I think like the thing is I also feel like if you're maybe biding your time buying a PS5, you're probably just waiting for GTA 5, right? Which means you probably only play two games a year, so that's more than enough space for you. So you'll be fine.
Yeah. Unless one's GTA.
Don't count on these things getting cheaper anytime soon. Like, I reckon if you're trying to find a bargain on a PS5, look to the secondhand market because, things only seem to be heading in one direction and it is the wrong direction.
And if you're after a digital model, slide into my DMs. I'll be happy to sell that.
That's not.
What?
No, that's not.
Keep your PlayStation.
Let's not sell our.
You've got your PSVR as well. Like, what are you going to?
Well, I'll throw that in for free. I'll throw that in for free.
Yeah. What else can you chuck in?
PSVR 1. That's probably not compatible with anything anymore.
What about that Destiny hat? Can I buy that?
Destiny
marathon hat.
You're wearing it, mate. Oh, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah. Might be a collector's
art. No. I'll wear this every day till I die.
Might be worth millions one day.
I'm afraid. Yeah.
When the game gets cancelled and doesn't come out.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got a Scalebound t-shirt. If anyone wants
that's
that,
cool.
I'll throw that in.
That's a bit of memorabilia.
Absolutely.
Speaking of a game that's never going to get cancelled, let's play What the Wiki, the Press Start podcast game show, where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game, and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess, with the round concluding after someone's bagged themselves 2 points. Last week, that was Shannon, who will be in the hosting chair today. Always a joy when Shannon gets to host What the Wiki. He moved up into third place on 19 points as a result of that win. Ahead of him, James and Brody are tied in second place with 23 points. And currently still defending a lead is myself with 26 points.
Wow.
But that could all change today, particularly if either Brody or James clean sweep, in which they'll get that bonus third point and tie with me in first place. But Shannon, as last week's winner, you are today's host. So take it away.
Mm-hmm. I'm reading Raw and we all know how that goes. Just be listening closely for any slip-ups.
He's not reading Wikipedia Raw.
He's raw dogging it. Get ready.
The game is a 2016 platform game. It is the company's first mobile game that is part of one of the company's long-running and major franchises. In the game, the player controls the main character or other characters as they run across the screen while timing jumps to collect coins and dodge enemies. Ewan.
Is this Sackboy Run?
No, but it could have been based on what I said.
Brody.
Yeah,
I was going to say Super Mario Run.
It is Super Mario Run. Yeah. Well done, Brody. I didn't realize they had the same name, but
I didn't know Sackboy Run existed.
Sackboy Run. I don't think that's a real game.
Later.
Is it?
That might have been later in 2016. Sackboy, it's a real game. Yeah, I played a stupid amount of that game and spent too much Sackboy on that game.
Run. I wouldn't have picked Mario Run 9 years ago. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's wild, isn't
it? I totally forgot Mario Run existed, yet somehow I remember Sackboy Run existed. Sorry, Shannon. Go. Take it away.
The game is a 2022 independent shoot-em-up video game. Following an early access period that began in December 2021, it was released on macOS, Windows, Xbox One, Xbox Series XS, X and S, Android and iOS in late 2022. In the game, players control an automatically attacking character while battling or continuous waves of
Brody?
Monsters
James.
Aiming to... Oh, I think that was Brody. Was it Brody? Did others hear Brody?
I thought it was me.
I think I heard one of the two of them before me.
Ewan, you weren't even the question.
Sorry, am I going?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Vampire Survivors.
It is Vampire Survivors. Well done, Brody. Easily done. And he's back in.
I'm tied for first, baby.
You want to do the last first. One for fun?
Do the last one for fun.
The game is a puzzle and indie game where the player leads a princess through mazes of optical illusions and impossible objects while manipulating the world around her.
James.
Ewan.
Yes, no. James.
Is it Monument Valley?
It is Monument Valley for the consolation winner of my heart award. Well done. It was a great round. So they're all mobile games to celebrate the new iPhone launch. What
that
a dynamic round.
I don't even... I want to hear
well,
the
Brody edit. With the clean sweep. I'm just going to
We need a real-time checkup. We need to go back in real time and check the...
Yeah, absolutely.
An act,
yeah.
Like a photo finish action replay.
Yeah, exactly.
So can I mean, it's really hard with like the latency on the call and everything as well. It's, yeah.
I mean,
I have no idea what the edit's going to reveal.
It'll all come out in the edit, and if it's the case, Ewan will do a make good next week.
We don't know if James knew what it was either, so...
I did.
Oh, okay.
Can I hijack the episode for a second with something unexpected?
Wow.
Be my guest. I'm
very excited. Obviously, like, Shannon is so far behind. So I just think to make it interesting.
An all or nothing round.
I've just, while we've been recording, I prepared a trivia question for Shannon to answer to try and make up some points.
Just Shannon?
Yeah, because he's like, so far behind. Okay. Oh, okay.
Like
well, I can open it up.
Why don't we make it
shame me publicly?
Why don't we make it? It's a trivia question. It's worth 1 point to the others and 10 points to Shannon, or something like that.
Well, that's too many. I'm not telling you the question. You have to make a decision first.
No, the points wager. What was the wager?
Nothing. You just get an extra point to make up.
Does he?
Oh, do you know what we should do? Wait. You know what we should do?
You've thought this through. The host.
I have. I'm thinking this through now. The host should get asked a trivia question by another member of the team so they don't miss out on any points while they're hosting.
Okay, we'll start that next week.
No, let's start it now. Shannon needs the points.
1 point isn't even worth my brain.
I have a good
power.
Yeah, I thought we were going to like, there was like maybe 3 points up for grabs.
Yeah,
so
me at the top.
So how do you,
how hard this trivia
how do you determine who asks the trivia question each week?
It'll just be me, unless it's someone else.
Okay.
The chaser.
You guys can try and stump
it. You could fix it. Like, you could ask people ahead of you, like, really difficult trivia questions
that
you're never going to get.
Let's just let this play out. Ask Shannon your question. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Me and you and Auntie.
Are we ready?
Are we only awarding Shannon a single point, though? I feel like...
It's just a soft launch. We're just going to see how we go.
Yeah.
And then...
Okay. In December, we can start making it 10, 20, whatever it needs to be.
Yeah, we can start... This will just become like a variety show of different quizzes and games. So.
Look, I'm going to win the one that matters.
We're slowly going to become Kind of Funny Game Showdown.
I reckon this one will be good. This is a good one. This will get the brains ticking, maybe.
Okay.
Okay, Shannon, are you ready? For what the jamsy? That's what we're calling this.
I have another suggestion, actually.
Oh my god!
What if like there's 3 points up for grabs for Shannon, and every minute that goes past,
minute
in which he
I'm
can't
not timing.
The
Who's timing
answer,
this? Who has the chance? Time
loses
to work that
the
out.
Potential of
minute.
A point.
You're gonna sit here for three fucking minutes.
I didn't make it that hard.
Ken, just watch me think.
I mean, if you're like this far into the podcast, I think you're prepared to just sit and listen to Shannon. Like,
just
the cogs turn for 3 minutes. Yeah.
The goose is loose.
Yeah.
I love that we've been talking about it for more than 10 minutes. When
yeah. Just done it. Okay, scrap my idea. Scrap my idea. Let's just give him 1 point for now. We'll workshop.
If he gets the question.
If he gets the question right.
That's
yeah.
So
I
much
reckon
pressure
he'll get
on
it.
This
I have
now.
So much faith. We have to put. Yeah, I reckon he'll get this. I have a lot
this
of.
It feels like. Yeah. Okay. Go.
Okay.
I'm just going to start a timer for the sake of it.
Shannon, for 1 point.
Oh my god.
Which PlayStation 3 title was the first to support trophies?
I want to have a crack at this after him.
The first to support trophies.
That's like a hard question.
You're a big place. You love PlayStation. Perfect Shannon question.
I feel like it was... I can't remember the name of the game, but it was the one where you have to like throw the person around.
You mean like Human Fall Flat or something?
Are you talking about Pain?
No. Yeah. Is that could be totally wrong.
No, it's not Pain.
is the hint. That should be a hint system. Where do you want it to be multiple choice? And then
just start guessing some games. Oh wait, is it only?
Well, let's go process of elimination. It's got to be a PS3 game. Does it not?
No, you can't help him. Leave him be. He's got to come to something. Sony,
did they introduce trophies at the start of the PS3?
No, I don't think so.
No, they didn't.
Oh.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
So,
at some point in the PS3 lifetime that they were introduced, I thought they were there day dot.
No, they weren't.
Well, tell us the year. Tell us the year they were introduced.
It's already expired.
Okay, should we have a hint system, and each hint you lose a point? So we start at 3 points?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, so I'm going to give you a hint. So a hint, which means 2 points now, Shannon. Okay. It was released in 2008.
Okay.
It's the year after Uncharted.
Ratchet and Clank.
No.
Oh, that was fun.
So, I've got another hint.
You get one more hint.
Okay. Oh, so he gets to guess every point here.
You can lose a point that was the thing. Guess.
Oh.
Maybe.
I'm looking forward to this next week. This will be good.
We have to really think about
this. I thought I'd got
another
hint and now it's 1 point, isn't it?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Relax, mate. Okay. Should I give you just 4 options and you pick one? Oh, no, that's too easy, I reckon.
Multiple choice.
Unless they're all from 2008.
Okay.
2 minutes have expired.
Jesus.
Yeah,
oh my god. There's fucking too many point systems.
Okay, I'm gonna just in this for the sake of ending it, I'm gonna give you multiple choice, okay? I'm just gonna make them up.
Okay.
Number 1, Warhawk. Number 2, Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots. Number 3, Super Stardust HD. Or number 4, Uncharted Drake's Fortune.
I reckon it's C.
He doesn't get the point.
Is it C?
What was C? I forgot.
Super Stardust HD.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, it is. It is Super Stardust HD.
Wow.
Congrats, Shannon. You get
Thank
one
you.
Point.
I'll take
oh,
some
my
point.
Goodness.
Add
Thank
it to
you.
The tally, Ewan. You can take your point and I think this has potential. I'm going to work this out.
We need a streamline.
Yeah.
Well, we can't change it now.
It's just
going to
be
I get a
game
question
after
next week.
Game.
Oh, I think, yeah, that's that.
Yeah, okay.
Could put someone dangerously in.
So you're saying
if it's not me.
If we go by that same structure, I host next week, and then I get a question for 3 points to get what?
No,
that's
no,
a good point.
It can't be 3 points. Not
I think
for
if you're
leader.
At the yeah, no, we'll work it out. We will work
maybe
this out.
Maybe it's whoever's coming last, or like of the people on the call.
Yeah, I think it should just be for me.
It's like a rubber banding sort of.
So we just ask people.
So we're just going to ask Shannon
so
a question
Shannon
every
week,
basically.
Yes. I mean, I'm here for it. That sounds like good content.
I am the humor. I am what people want.
So did,
I don't know
did, are we awarding Shannon a point then?
Yes.
Yeah, we are. He. Okay. Yeah, that
it seems like we are.
I think like just for the sake of having put him through that,
exactly.
He gets a point.
I don't know.
But,
I
but in the future,
mentally prepared for that.
I'm going to refine the format and present something. Better
I mean, the trivia
week.
Kind of piqued my interest because I think I remember getting trophies for SingStar, but
okay,
that
we've already
was,
no, we
like,
know what the answer is. Why are you still trying to
get a point?
I would like to fold trivia into the mix if we can. I enjoy trivia quite a lot.
Okay, we'll see.
We're gonna shop Let's a game go. Show. Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Should we do just like a trivia only show one day? No.
No,
we'll get there.
We'll talk about
it. The show's becoming bloated with all these segments.
We can cut all this. We'll cut all this.
Fucking
well, this slow news week.
Tech time, unpopular opinions, what the wiki, and now what the Jamsy.
Fast food delights.
Oh yeah, our food reviews. That's a retired
Trivia
segment. We can bring
jam
that back
with jams. Yeah, true. I miss food reviews.
Okay, let's move on.
To the end of this podcast.
To
wrap,
the end, yeah.
Wrap
with
this
that,
up.
Let's bring
like
an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the site at press.com.au. We've been joined today by Brody.
Yeah, if you're still here, thanks for getting through that last 10 minutes. That was a hard one. You can follow me on most things at Brody_DG.
The introducer of new trivia segments, it was James.
Yes, you can find me at Jams, ATJMZ, or elsewhere.
And with his fingers on the technological pulse, it was Big Daddy Shannon.
Big Daddy.
Not Big Daddy.
Big Daddy.
Big Daddy Zugo.
Why did you have...
yeah, follow me at Channing Grigsby, not Danny Grigsby.
And I've been your host, Ewan. You can follow me on socials at Ewan_Roxburgh. We'll be back again next week. But until then, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.